could stay healthy and strong in this place. I trade magic for my protection, even though I'm the worst thing fairies have to fear out here. He takes a breath. I've killed hundreds, maybe thousands of fairies, some outright, and some indirectly after I drained them of too much magic. I have a hidden room filled with countless fairies who are all but dead. An unbidden shiver moves through me. Sounds like the thief of souls. He continues. I try to keep them alive for as long as possible. Why? I interject.
Once a fairy dies, the bond is broken and Typhus loses their power,
Dez says from where he stands.
Dead man can't uphold oaths.
Typhus begins explaining the same thing, forced by my glamour to answer my question. Once he finishes, he pauses, ever hopeful that he can skirt around my other order, the one where he confesses his crimes. I raise my eyebrows, bemused. Around me, fairies flash him venomous glares. Poor little Typhus. With a shudder, he continues on.
I have blackmailed men and women into having sex with me. I've lied about how strong I really am. I cannot single-handedly stop an uprising, should one happen.
On and on it goes. It takes 20 minutes, 20 incriminating minutes, for Typhus to get through the impressively long list of shitty things he's done. By the end of those 20 minutes, you can feel the room baying for his blood. Hell, after hearing his laundry list of dirty deeds, I want to rip his throat out. This king knows it, too. He's now openly sweating. It drips into his eyes and down his chin. Gone is his cockiness. I wonder how long it's been since he's felt this kind of fear.
Apologize to all these fairies, I command Typhus. Apologize and mean it.
His eyes move to the crowd.
I'm sorry for everything I've done.
His voice is low and hollow with something like guilt. It's definitely not regret, but whatever. Some people never do regret their choices, only where their choices landed them. I walk around the throne, my skin still glowing, high as fuck off my power. I still wear his crown on my head, and I'll admit the weight of it gives me a little rush. When my gaze meets Typhus's, the devil is in his eyes.
All right, I say. Enough of this.
I use my sweet, cajoling voice, and the king seems to relax at the sound of it. I can practically hear his thoughts. Almost over.
Oh, I say, mock surprised. Did you think I was through with you? Oh, Typhus, no, no, no.
I'm shaking my head, my voice pitying. Through my connection, I can feel a whisper of Dez. The sensation is so faint that it's hard to place what emotion of his slipped across our bond, but if I had to guess, I'd say it was awe. And I realize, this is the first time he's truly seen me use my magic. Stopping the sleeping soldiers was one thing, but playing with a man's free will, toying with him and drawing it out as I savor the kill? This is new territory for him, and judging by his reaction, my twisted king approves.
No one in this room is leaving without their powers, I say.
In response, Typhus's face goes red, and another wave of his power fills the air. He's still bound by my glamour, however, to only answer my questions. I watch him for several seconds, letting his mighty magic fight mine. It's useless. I have absolute control over him right now. But I will indulge him.
Go ahead, I say. Tell me what's on your mind.
What you're asking for is impossible, he gasps out. I would have to break every single oath. Some fairies aren't even conscious enough to agree to that.
My voice goes ice cold.
Or they could just simply kill you. Dead men, after all, can't uphold oaths.
I stare down Typhus, every bit the heartless creature our lore has made me out to be.
I'm sure the lot of you will figure something out.
I back up from him,
a nefarious smile spreading across my face. "Typhus Henbane," I say, my skin lit, my glamour thickening the air. "I command you to return every single bit of magic you've stolen within 2 days' time." Much longer than that, and my glamour might wear off. Typhus gives me a look like I've brought the axe down upon his neck. I'm not even done. "You will never again exchange power for your betterment." My eyes flick around us. "May your people have mercy upon you." I walk away from him towards Dez, my footsteps echoing throughout the throne room. I touch the crown that still perches on my head and pause. I swivel one last time to face Typhus. "Oh, and I'm keeping this." Chapter 13. Water? Check. Dark room? Check. Forehead massage? Check. I've done everything within my limited power to kick this migraine in the nuts. Nothing's working. I rub my temples yet again, my head pounding. "Why does everything hurt so much?" I whine. My tongue feels swollen and my lips parched. Even my teeth seem to ache. Desmond comes over to where I stand in his chambers. Around us, the soft lamplight has been dimmed to the point of near darkness. It's still not enough.
"It's one of the unwelcome side effects of visiting the banished lands."
He holds out his closed hand. His fingers unfurl, revealing what looks like a piece of candy, if candy were iridescent.
"This might help more than the massage."
"What is it?"
I take the strange lozenge from his palm.
"Believe it or not, fairies have medicine just like humans do."
I let out a crazy laugh. "This is fey aspirin?"
"Close enough,"
he says.
"What do you want in return?"
I ask, placing the pill on my tongue. I mean, this migraine is bad enough that I'd happily sell the bargainer one of my appendages for it. But I do still want to know what it'll cost me. For a moment, the avarice in his expression falls away and he looks a little sad.
"Callie, you don't owe me. Not for something like this. I'm sorry I gave you that impression."
My features soften.
"Thank you for the magical aspirin."
I say it with a lisp as the pill sits between my tongue and my teeth. It's not bitter like human medicine, nor is it sweet like the hard candy it looks like. Instead, it tastes like honeysuckle melting on my tongue. Dez kisses my forehead, then his eyes drift up. He touches the crown I'm still wearing.
"And here I thought you didn't want to be a queen,"
he says, eyeing the thing. I reach for it possessively. It's my war prize. Even if it looks like something a blind man made while drunk.
"I must admit, you are delightfully cruel when you want to be."
It was beautiful nightmare before, and now it's delightfully cruel. I should be mortified by these compliments. And maybe the socially acceptable part of me is. But the part of me that wants to feast on men's hearts and bathe in their dying breaths is covetously collecting them, one by one. Dez's gaze is heavy and hungry when it drops to me.
"Do you take war prizes from all your victims?"
I shiver a little. "They're not my victims."
"Hmm."
"They're not."
"Are you going to answer the question?"
I take the crown off my head and study it. It is truly ugly. "Only the really bad ones," I say. "The ones who like to break people. They are the ones I enjoy twisting to my every whim. I take mementos from them." Back at my house, I have a box full of these mementos I've lifted over the years. On particularly bad days, days when not even Johnny or Jack or Jose could numb my pain away, I'd steal away to my guest room where I kept that box, and I'd sit there for hours, taking out item after item, holding each in my palm, and I would remember how I broke a few of the great villains of the world. If my confession freaks Dez out, he doesn't show it. In fact, his expression has gotten hungrier. The Fae side of him is positively delighted to hear this perversion of mine.
I learned about that box one of the times I visited your house,
Dez admits. My brow wrinkles.
He knew?
I think I'm alarmed. Then why did you ask? I say. Dez begins to back me up, directing me with his body to his chamber's balcony.
I wanted to hear you say it.
Behind me, the cool evening breeze stirs my hair. I turn and step outside, my skin pebbling. Unlike the Banished Lands, Somnia is awash in magic. It radiates from every night-blooming flower, every pixie that zips around like gusts of wind. It laces each decadent cloud plume, and it drips down like rain from the heavens. And now I'm a part of it, from my fae magic to the bond that connects me to this white-haired king. I stare at Dez as I take a seat on the stone floor of the balcony. He has no idea just how in love with him I am. It would be impossible for him to understand. I must be making a strange face because he says,
"What is it, Cherub?"
This is the point in the conversation where we barter for secrets. He gives me something I want, and I confess some coveted truth. You know, our typical give and take. I remember Dez's sad eyes.
Callie, you don't owe me. Not for something like this.
He doesn't owe me for something like this, either. I shake my head. I love you so much. He'll never really know. His features sharpen, and the look in his eyes intensifies.
The way fairies love, it's the same way we live. It's immortal, violent, irrational, and unbendable. I understand your words, Cherub, because there are aspects of my love for you that are, simply put, unfathomable.
My heart begins to gallop as we stare at each other, our connections singing to me. I can feel Dez beneath my sternum, even as I stare at him. He's always in me, always a part of me. It's the most uncanny sensation. Never breaking eye contact, Dez lifts a hand. From deep in his chambers, a bottle of something pink and bubbly floats into his open palm. A few seconds later, two elaborate flutes slip into his other hand. The bargainer settles himself next to me, his back leaning against the wall. He sets the items down, and a moment later the bottle uncorks itself and begins pouring. "What's the occasion?" I ask, watching the rosy liquid foam as it fills the flutes.
"My soulmate survived a day in the Banished Lands, and managed to walk away with the kingdom's crown. I'd say that's an occasion worth celebrating."
Something warm blooms low in my stomach. Something that feels a lot like happy, stupid love. And maybe a little pride, too. I helped chip away at the mystery of Galagar's awakening. When the champagne flutes are filled, one floats over to me. I take it and peer into the drink. "This is safe to drink, right?" I ask. "It isn't like the rosé version of lilac wine."
"You caught me, love. I'm hoping to grow you a set of pointy ears,"
Dez says, taking his own glass. I stare down at my drink, swirl it, wonder if I should drink it after having a migraine, then a magical pill with who knows what side effects. Dez doesn't look over at me when he says,
"I wouldn't let you drink that if I thought I was putting you at risk."
I glance sharply at him.
"Please tell me you're not asking how I knew that. I'm not entirely sure my ego would recover from that sort of slight."
Heaven forbid I wonder how Dez knows an unknowable thing. "Your ego could probably use being knocked down a peg or two," I say. He presses a finger to my mouth.
"Shh, Cherub. You don't know what you're talking about."
I nip at his finger. In response, Dez's eyes become like sultry little sluts.
"Fae wine doesn't interact quite the same way human wine does,"
he says distractedly.
"Now do that again.
If I do that again, I'll be in serious threat of turning this into a bang fest, which is always fun. Right now, though, I kind of sort of just want to savor this thing between us. It's our friendship aged 8 years, with a little bit of sex thrown in. I draw his finger away and bring the wine to my mouth. So, he repeats, his gaze trained to my lips. He's excruciating to look at, with his pale eyes and even paler hair. I'm going to cave and let him carry me inside so I can have my way with him if I keep drinking him in. I gather my legs up to me and look out over his kingdom, desperate to hold on to this moment. I never thought I'd be here, I say, taking a steadying breath as my gaze sweeps over Somnia. All those years ago? I mean, I had always hoped you'd take me, but I never really thought I'd be here one day. Dez's gaze falls heavy on me. I did, it seems to say. After several moments, he turns his attention to the night.
I never imagined it would be under these circumstances.
My wing roots prick at his words, drawing my attention away from the ominous note in his voice to the fact that I am a part of this world, with all its horror and injustice, and I fit in here as I never have on Earth. I have scales and wings and claws and fey power running through my veins. I feel suitably magical for this place. Think Typhus is still alive? I ask, changing the subject. The bargainer huffs out a laugh.
Unlikely.
Is that a pang of guilt I feel?
Callie, don't feel bad for the man.
I make a face into my wine. The shit is super good. Ugh, you're like a mind reader tonight.
I'm serious.
That's easy for you to say. You've been making people disappear for decades. I've seen it firsthand. Dez looks at me like I'm cute and odd and exasperating all at the same time.
Have you forgotten all the terrible things that the fairy admitted to?
Things like rape and coercion and murder and 20 minutes of other terrible deeds. I take a drink and shake my head.
And you still feel bad?
Nod. The rim of the champagne flute rattles between my teeth as I play with it. No. Yes. Maybe. I killed fairies only a couple of nights ago. Dooming a man to death definitely doesn't top that. So it's ridiculous to feel bad for this when I haven't shed a tear for the poor souls I killed not so long ago. I don't know why I feel this way. Nothing makes much sense anymore. Dez leans his head against the wall, staring up at the stars.
The devil is in the details, you know. Those teeth and bones Typhus wore, he took each of them from his victims. Some while they were still living, some shortly after they'd died.
If that's supposed to make me feel better, it doesn't. My soulmate has pulled plenty of teeth of his own. He's a bad man, too. It doesn't make him deserving of death, at least not in my book.
And all that borrowed magic?
Dez continues.
The process is called co-binding, and though Typhus made it sound cavalier and impersonal, it's not like that.
Dez says. I stare down at my fey wine. And how is it?
Remember those horcruxes in Harry Potter?
I begin to smile in spite of myself. Are you seriously dropping an HP reference right here, right now? I ask, glancing over at Dez.
I have your undivided attention, don't I?
And all my love. I mean, I knew he was soulmate material before, but this pretty much just sealed the deal. Dez's face grows serious.
Essentially, when you exchange magic, you're transferring more than raw energy. You're moving a piece of yourself as well.
That's massively creepy.
It's not to be taken lightly. Most fairies, if they decide to do such a thing, spend centuries picking out the right individual. Even then, it's a tricky business. Lovers quarrel, families divide, friends deceive. It happens. You can never fully guarantee that the person you share magic with will always be your ally. For a fairy to give away their power to a stranger, and in the banished lands where the earth itself drains away a fairy's magic shockingly fast, Such an exchange is akin to suicide. Typhus did that to everyone there. By forcing him to return the magic he coerced from those fairies, you helped right a wrong.
I take a ponderous sip of my wine. Have you ever done it? I ask. Have you ever co-bound yourself to someone? The bargainer gives me a look that should melt the panties from my body.
I bound myself to my soulmate. Would you say that counts?
I smile into my drink. Are you admitting that I have a piece of your soul? His eyes dip to my curving lips.
More than a piece, cherub.
Hey, bitch, have a nice trip. Temper asks the next day when she waltzes into the library where Dez and I have spent the morning. As soon as she enters, a dozen different paintbrushes drift away from the enormous canvas Dez is working on. He's not nearly finished with it, but I already know what image he's bringing to life. There's the Flora Kingdom's ballroom, decorated with 1,000 blooming plants, and among it all, there I am, my black wings folded behind me, my hair twinkling with the night sky. I'm looking directly out at the viewer, my dark eyes looking troubled and impish all at once. He's capturing the night he put the stars in my hair. I don't tell the bargainer that I get a little thrill looking at the painting, that for once I look like I belong somewhere. It was interesting, I say, taking a sip from my mug of coffee. Have fun in my absence? I got by, Temper says, her fingers running over a nearby shelf of books. I went back to that tailor to get more fae outfits. She smooths a hand down her outfit, and holy shit, why am I only now noticing what she's wearing? The gown? Yes, my best friend chose to put on a gown before noon. Looks like woven rainwater, each individual droplet glistening as she moves. Cascading down the skirt are what look like water lilies, the flowers artfully placed so that they hide all her incriminating bits. The neckline of the dress is so low that it plunges down to her navel. It's extra as fuck. Did you threaten the tailor again? I ask. Last time we'd gotten fitted for outfits, she'd been a little huffy. Temper clears her throat. I call it incentivizing. Oh, geez. Temper's eyes move to the painting and she whistles. Damn, Desmond, I didn't know you painted. He lifts a shoulder.
When I'm restless.
Malachi comes in right then, his imposing frame filling the doorway. Immediately, my eyes hone in on the hickeys wringing his neck. He could have removed them. It would only take a pinch of magic, and yet there they are. In fact, not only did Malachi not remove the hickeys, he's also pulled his hair into one of those girly little buns, further displaying them. Someone should tell him hickeys were only cool in middle school. When Temper catches me staring, she waggles her eyebrows. I bite my lower lip to keep my laugh in check. Joke's on her because every day she strings this fairy along, he's less likely to let her slip through his clutches, and Temper does not do commitment.
So?
Malachi says, taking a seat next to Dez, his bronze eye patch catching the light.
How was your visit to the Banished Lands?
Temper sits down next to me. The sleeve of her dress brushes against my arm, dampening a patch of my clothes.
All the tomb's enchantments are still in place, and there's no sign of forced entry, and yet the body is gone,
Dez says. I suppress a shiver at the memory of that empty tomb. For the last month, Galagar Nyx has been gallivanting about.
How is that possible?
Malachi asks. Dez rolls a paintbrush between his fingers.
The best information we got was that a shadow retrieved him.
Malachi's brows furrow.
A shadow? Is this the thief we're dealing with?
Probably, I say. He curses.
Of course, the two worst fairies in the world have decided to team up.
He shakes his head and rubs a hand over his eyes.
How the hell did this happen?
The fuck if I know,
Dez says, throwing the paintbrush aside.
Are you in the mood for a bit of reconnaissance?
Malachi's face is grim.
This has to do with your asshole father?
Dez inclines his head. The general's eye glitters.
I'd love nothing more.
His friend's scarred face and eye patch look a little sinister in the light. The bargainer begins to smile.
Good. I'd like you to meet with some of our old connections back on Barbos. Tell them that the dead king has risen, and anyone who has knowledge of his whereabouts will be handsomely compensated. And if someone can lead me to him?
Malachi asks.
Report back to me first. I don't want a chance losing him. Oh, and by the way.
Des's eyes inadvertently land on Temper.
Be discreet.
Why are you looking at me?
Temper's voice is several octaves louder than everyone else's. The bargainer arches an eyebrow.
I'm as motherfucking discreet as they come, she says.
I'm trying really, really hard not to laugh, but the struggle is real. Malachi manages a sharp nod.
We will be discreet,
he assures Des. The sorceress huffs.
Y'all need to get your heads checked. I am not the problem.
She turns on Malachi.
And you don't need to go making promises for me. I never even said I was coming along.
And you don't need to.
The bargainer stands.
But if you imagine staying behind so that you could have fun with Callie, then you'll be sorely disappointed. The future Night Queen has official business that will take her away from the palace.
It takes me a second to realize Des is referring to me.
Wait, I say. I haven't agreed to be queen.
Yeah, Temper agrees.
My girl hasn't agreed. What?
She turns on me. Bitch, have you lost your mind? Take that crown and wear that shit like it's your birthright. Ignoring Temper, Dez's gaze falls on me, his features sharp.
I apologize. The Night King's consort has official business that will take her away from the palace.
I narrow my eyes at my mate.
I might not have jumped on board with this whole queen business, but I sure as hell don't want to be known simply as someone else's consort.
Who? Temper whoops. Falling back into her seat.
You better sleep with one eye open, Desmond. I've seen my girl make men pay for less.
He's still staring intensely at me.
That's odd. For as long as I've known Callie, she's the one who's paid for my services. I admit it'll be nice not to be the prostitute in our relationship for once.
Temper snickers, appraising Des all over again.
Fuck one eye, sleep with both eyes open.
I shake my head at Des as I stand, my eyes slitted.
It's time to go.
We give curt goodbyes to Temper and Malachi, then slip out of the library. You do realize how close you were to getting glamoured, don't you? I say as we head down the hallway. Des's eyes seem to be laughing at me.
You say that like I'd mind.
Most men do. Then again, Des isn't most men.
So what is this official business?
I say, changing the subject. The bargainer's face turns grim.
Now that the kingdoms of Flora and Fauna have fallen, the Day Kingdom is our one remaining ally. You and I are going to pay them a visit.
Chapter 14. I smell the bodies before I see them. Des and I have barely stepped off the ley line and entered the Kingdom of Day when the scent of burnt flesh assaults me. I don't know what I was expecting from the Day Kingdom when Des told me we were going to be visiting, but this isn't it. I shield my eyes against the blindingly bright overhead sun until they adjust to the sight before them. All around us, the world is on fire. Pyres as large as houses stretch as far as the eyes can see, and they roar as they burn. Thick, oily smoke billows off of them, twisting into the air and turning the sky into a reddish haze. We skirt around them, one by one, the oily smoke coating my skin. I begin to sweat from the heat wafting off of them. It's stifling, suffocating. Around us, the flames reach high into the sky as though they were trying to touch the very sun itself. As blazing as each inferno is, I can still make out the bodies within. There are dozens of them piled on one another, their forms blackened to a crisp.
Their uniforms have long burned off. But I don't need to see them to know these are the sleeping soldiers who invaded the Kingdom of Day. So this is how Dez's final ally defeated the enemy. They simply killed them all off. My eyes sweep over the landscape again. Dez and I have arrived at the edge of a large floating island. Here, where the land gives way to sky, the pyres sit like grim sentinels. Beyond them, I can only make out the hazy outline of a tangle of flora and what appears to be a looming mountain range. The sun glares down at us through the haze, and on any other day, I'm sure this kingdom is a glorious sight. But right now, the place is like spoiled wine. Next to me, the bargainer squints up at the sun, which now burns blood red through the haze of smoke.
"I've always hated this place," he says. "Too bright for my taste. But this..."
He shakes his head.
"This makes me wish for those insufferably bright days."
He takes my hand, and with that, the two of us head towards the looming mountains. We're not walking the entire way, are we? I glance above us as we pass under a bright green tree, violet flowers growing from its branches. Around us, the vegetation presses in from all sides. I can only see about 50 feet ahead, and it's all jungle.
"Cheer up, cherub. You have me as company, and I am an excellent conversationalist."
Crap, we are totally walking the entire way. That sucks extra balls when the air smells like a graveyard. I wince. The smell might legit kill me first. Dez plucks a deep blue flower from a nearby vine, sliding it behind my ear.
"We can't have that now," he says.
He leads us to a stairway I almost miss because it blends in with its surroundings so well. It's woven from vines and leaves, and it winds up a tree trunk and ascends high into the air. Once we're level with the canopies of trees, the stairway levels, turning into a bridge that sways as we walk along it. "What's with the bridge?" I ask.
"What about it?"
Dez asks, disappearing only to reappear yards away at the end of the bridge, arms crossed. "Ugh, you never walk to the palace, do you? You simply pop into existence there." Dez's eyes twinkle.
"Sometimes. Okay, most of the time, and that's because Janice hates it so much."
Just as I reach him, he disappears, winking into existence farther along the bridge where it twists between trees. "Are you going to do this the entire way?" I complain.
"Maybe."
"Well, can you make me disappear with you at least?" I ask, waving away some of the hazy smoke that's hanging in the air.
"It doesn't work like that. Not unless we co-bound our power."
But I thought that being bonded meant we shared magic. As I speak, I reach down our bond and tug on Dez's power.
"We do, cherub, but it doesn't quite work the same way, and..."
I see his teeth set on edge as he lets out a little laugh.
"You're trying to use my magic."
"Can you blame me? I mean, the dude can teleport. I want to do that. The rope bridge is cool and all, but I don't want to walk." I pull on our bond one final time, feeling Dez's magic slip into my veins and travel down to my fingertips. For the briefest of moments, the air subtly darkens. Then it dissipates, along with my mate's powers. "Fine," I say. "I'll stop, but I'm not thrilled to be walking."
"Duly noted."
"We could fly."
"We could."
Dez agrees, which is fairy speak for "yeah, no." Since I don't know where our destination precisely is, I'm stuck following his ass. On foot. Boo. I tow the woven walkway. "I still don't understand this bridge," I mutter. I get having bridges when there are rivers and chasms that make walking impossible, but the forest floor looks perfectly fine to walk on. I mean, if my feet touch the ground, is the earth going to rip apart and swallow me whole?
"If it has any taste in women, then yes, that will definitely happen."
"Dez," I say, trying not to laugh. He vanishes, reappearing farther away than before.
Where are you going? I thought you were supposed to be this amazing conversationalist.
I complain as I run my hands over the knotted vine railing. He smirks at me from where he stands, 5 million miles away.
Or maybe, I say, my skin beginning to glow, I should just make you walk alongside me, or carry me the entire way.
He raises an eyebrow, his glee obvious.
Is that an order?
It depends.
Even with the distance between us, I see him smother a smile.
My, my, you're awfully bossy for a woman who doesn't want to be queen.
Walk with me, Dez, I say, my voice melodic.
Immediately, the bargainer appears in front of me, his hands braced on the rope.
I begin to saunter forward, my body swaying. My scales ripple to life along my forearms, my claws sharpen.
Dez begins to back up, his gaze never leaving mine.
So is this what we're going to do? You glamour me until I submit to you?
His silver eyes gleam, his white hair hanging loose around his face. He looks like the kind of rogue I want to defile and be defiled by. I catch his shirt before he can back up any more, my claws inadvertently shredding it in the process. I reel him in, pressing a kiss to his lips.
Yes, I whisper against him.
With that, I release him, my skin gradually fading back to its normal color. The two of us begin to walk, making our way across the suspended walkway. I touch my lips, the taste of Dez still sharp on my tongue. Is this feeling between us ever going to go away? I ask. In 3,000 years or whatever?
Cherub.
Dez interrupts.
Where are you getting your information from? Fairies don't live that long.
Is this thing we've got between us one day going to fade? The King of Night stops to take my hand, cupping it between his own. Then he begins to back up, pulling me along with him.
There are certain things in life that fade with time,
he says, his gaze locked on mine.
What we have, Callie, isn't one of those things. Our bond will only strengthen over the years.
He pulls me along, the muted sunlight dappling across his skin.
I will always be here for you, when you turn 30 and when you turn 300.
Don't forget 3,000, I say.
If you defy the odds and live until then so will I.
He gives my hand a squeeze, his face getting serious.
I will be with you on your best day, and I will be with you on your worst day. I will be there to hold our children.
I raise an eyebrow at that.
We're going to have many children,
he informs me. Oh, are we now?
And I will be there for them all. I will be there when the last of your mortal friends draws their last breath. I will be there through it all, and I will tease you and infuriate you and lavish you with whatever it is your heart desires, because the only thing mine desires is you.
I give him a shaky smile, trying not to show him just how deeply his words have moved me.
Yay, I say. Lamest response ever. Only rather than cringing, Dez laughs and steals a kiss from me.
And now I'll walk by your side the rest of the way, because I finally goaded you into being naughty and using your glamour.
That was him goading me?
He gives my knuckles a kiss, then releases my hand so he can walk in front of me. The two of us are silent for a ways after that. At some point, I begin to hear the thud of footfalls. Lots and lots of footfalls. In the distance, trees shake violently, and for a moment I'm back in Mara's oak forest, watching the trees writhe and split open. The memory dissolves as the day soldiers come into view, their golden armor glinting as they storm towards us. Dez steps in front of me, his wings flaring to life behind him. They stretch wide, the razor-sharp talons looking particularly menacing. The day soldiers close in on us, their swords brandished. Jesus,
Their motto might as well be slash first, ask questions later. Des crosses his arms.
This is the welcome you give your kingdom's last remaining ally?
He clicks his tongue.
Janice did inform you that he was expecting a visit from the Kingdom of Night.
The soldiers' weapons lower just a fraction, but they're still eyeing the two of us, particularly me, with suspicion.
Where is your retinue?
One of them demands.
Recovering from battle,
Jez says.
I thought it wise to not bring more soldiers to your doorstep, seeing as how warmly your kingdom welcomed the last batch that visited.
Even here I catch whiffs of those blazing pyres. The soldiers begrudgingly lower their weapons the rest of the way, and one begins to speak.
By decree of the King of Day, Lord of Passages, King of Order, Truth-Teller, and Bringer of Light, Janice Soleil of the Isles of Light, you are now in this kingdom's custody until such a time as His Majesty—
I don't think so.
Des cuts in.
You'll treat us as the royal guests we are or we leave. It's as simple as that.
His wings fold behind his back.
No, you all don't want to be responsible for derailing these talks, do you?
When the soldier doesn't respond, another muscles his way to the front.
Please, Your Highness, we're sorry for the misunderstanding. Our good king is eager to meet with you. This way, please.
And with that, we resume our trek. It takes an annoyingly long time to get to the palace. I mean, the walk is scenic and all, the forest lush with life, the ground sprinkled with glittering pools and rippling creeks and blah, 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 lots of pretty shit. But it's still a stupidly long walk, and now that Des and I have 5 billion guards hemming us in, our conversation is next to non-existent. To be fair, I have been entertained. Des has spent most of the last hour plaiting one guard's hair into at least 50 braids, he hasn't yet noticed, and moving branches into another guard's way.
Motherfucking trees,
the fairy mutters under his breath. I swear they're moving in my way.
Lay off the spirits, Scythus,
another says. Ahead of us, the forest parts and... My God. The palace rises like a golden mountain from the jungle. The Day King's castle is brilliant, blinding gold. Just as staggering is the waterfall that cuts straight through it, plunging into a basin that's hidden by scores of other buildings that cluster around the palace.
Wow. I breathe.
One of the soldiers smiles at me.
Welcome to Avalon.
Chapter 15. For all the Day Kingdom's opulence, Avalon is a ghost town. The city streets are all but abandoned, though there's still the lingering, unholy scent of dark magic. But there are no bodies and no blood. The unpleasantries of battle have been moved to the outskirts of the island. Even when we enter, the castle proper seems abandoned, our footsteps echoing in the cavernous space. I glance around, looking for servants, aides, nobles, soldiers, anyone, but we're seemingly alone. The group of us enter a grand ballroom, the air touched with the lingering smell of blood and burnt magic. I glance up just as a shadow leaps from the golden banister high above us, swooping down in front of me and Des. The fairy lands hard, a fist to the ground. The wings at his back are unfurled, his white feathers tinged with gold. He looks the angel to Des's devil. It's only once he lifts his head that I realize I'm staring into the face of Janice Soleil, the King of Day. His hair shimmers and his bright blue eyes shine like topaz. It would be easy to confuse the Day King for an angel. He is everything the paintings have made angels out to be. His pointed ears be the only tell that he's something else entirely. Well, that and the hard, cunning gleam in his eyes. Janice doesn't have blood on him, but I would stake money that he killed dozens of those burning soldiers. The Day King's expression eases.
Desmond Flynn, I've been eagerly awaiting your arrival.
His eyes move to me.
Calypso,
he says, his eyes guarded as he nods at me.
Good to see you again.
His cool reception reminds me that not so long ago I accused him of kidnapping me.
Janice had a twin who died. The first time you met him, you were really meeting me.
It was the thief who'd captured me after all. The thief who wore the face of Julius when he snatched me from Dez's backyard. The green man had been dead when the thief wore his body. Julius had been dead when the thief wore his body. And that red-headed soldier, the one I interviewed, she had mentioned being lured away by her dead brother. Holy shit! I sway a little as a pattern begins to form.
Callie?
Dez's voice cuts through the screaming in my head. My eyes move to him.
What is it?
He asks softly. My eyes move from his to Janice's. The thief of souls can wear the faces of the dead. The three of us find a secluded place to talk. Correction, more secluded. Honestly, the whole thing seems unnecessary. There's no one left in the palace to eavesdrop. We don't end up striking a conversation again until we're securely in the Day King's private quarters. By then, Janice's wings are put away, but his fierce expression remains. As for what he or Dez think about my little revelation, it's hard to say. Neither of them look surprised, but then again, fairies seem to have really good poker faces. But if I assumed we were going to talk about it in private, then I assumed wrong. Neither king broaches the subject again. I mean, I know I'm no Sherlock Holmes. Don't tell my clients that. But this is something, right? Right? Janice ushers us to a cluster of chairs. Resting between the seats is a small table with a decanter and a set of glasses. Well, at least there's booze. I could use some booze. I take a seat, my attention drifting to a vivid mural on the wall to my left. Half of the image is painted in gold, the other in black. On one side is a golden man, rays of light emanating from his body. He holds his kneeling enemy by the throat. The captured man wears shackles on his wrists and ankles, and everything beyond him is painted in the inkiest of blacks.
Do you like it?
Janice asks, sitting down across from me. He reaches for the decanter between us, pouring the liquid into three glasses. I stare at the mural. What am I supposed to say? That the painting is just something to look at? That the most fascinating thing about it is the cute little loincloths each man wears? That would go over super well. Yeah, I say.
It's called The Banishment of Eurybios,
Janice says, handing me a glass filled with emerald liquid. He hands another to Dez.
It depicts the fight between Brennus, the god of light and order, and Eurybios, the god of darkness and chaos.
There's a beat of silence, then. I thought Pherion and Nyxos were the gods of light and dark. Janice pours himself a glass of the same liquor.
Pherion and Nyxos came later, after the other world was formed. These were the proto-gods, the ones creation was born from,
he says, turning his gaze to the wall.
This captures the moment Brennus defeated his foe and banished him to the far corner of the universe. This is the moment the other world came to be.
I tap my finger against my glass. What about the mother and the father?
They too came later. They were the children of these first gods. This is all vastly fascinating,
Dez cuts in,
but perhaps we can get to the point of the visit.
He lounges in his seat. Glass in hand, his legs splayed out. Janice drags his attention from the mural.
Do my stories bore you, Night King? Yes,
Dez says flatly. The corner of Janice's mouth lifts.
Fine, on to the bloody battle. I saw you dealt with your enemies the old-fashioned way,
the King of Night says, bringing the dark green liquor to his lips. The Day King raises an eyebrow.
I hear yours are still living.
He leans forward.
Tell me, Flynn, how did you manage that?
Dez's eyes move to me, a hint of a devilish smile on his face.
I didn't.
Janice follows his gaze.
Your human stopped an army? Only now does the Day King truly study me. Pray tell, how did that happen? I narrow my eyes. Fairies as a whole think humans are beneath them. Even though I'm a siren, and now a fey one at that, in many fairies' eyes, I will always be a coarse mortal.
Cherub, perhaps you can give Janice a demonstration?
I hesitate. I don't know what the penalty for glamoring a king is, but back on Earth, that shit was a no-no. Janice takes a sip of his drink, watching me over the rim.
Seems your mate is not up to the task.
He goads. You know what? Fine. I set my drink aside and uncross my legs, rolling my shoulders back and letting the siren wake. She stretches out like a cat basking in the sun. I feel my scales ripple to life along my forearms, and my wings itch to manifest. As soon as my skin brightens, Janice sits a little straighter, his gaze drawn to me. I rise to my feet, power rippling through my veins.
The great Day King, I say, my voice harmonizing. So very cocky. Stand for me.
Janice's brows furrow as he rises to his feet.
What are you doing?
I step up to him, taking his drink from his hands and tossing it aside. The glass shatters against the mural, spraying emerald liquid everywhere.
Giving you my demonstration, I say. That is what you wanted from me, isn't it?
Yes,
he says softly, quizzically. His gaze is pinned to mine. I can sense his rising magic. It thickens the air, smelling like sandalwood and blazing like the sun. There's one thing that fairies exert particular control and restraint over. One thing that will truly prove my power.
Show me your wings, Janice.
For a moment, nothing happens. The Day King continues to stare at me with spellbound eyes. Then he frowns and staggers a half step. Next to me, Dez sips his drink, a delighted expression on his face.
How are you?
Janice breaks the sentence off with a groan. Bending forward, his wings burst from his back, the gold-tipped feathers shimmering. When he glances at me next, he no longer looks dazzled.
Nope, the Day King is P-I-S-S-E-D.
He stumbles towards me, his expression murderous.
How dare you?
Stop,
I say. He freezes in place.
This is
what I do, I say.
I step in close as he flashes me a hateful look.
I am a siren. I glamour people. And now, thanks to the lilac wine Dez gave me, I can glamour fairies as well. I can glamour you.
My eyes drop to his lips.
It doesn't matter that you're a king or a powerful fairy. Even you can fall under my thrall.
He frowns at me.
This is how I stopped an army without killing them all.
Now, I say,
tell me truthfully, if I release you from my glamour, will you attack me?
For several seconds, Janice works his jaw, a muscle in his cheek feathering. Finally, he says,
no.
I back up.
Too bad, I pout. It's so much fun when my victims put up a fight.
Janice has reverted to looking at me with curiosity and no little amount of want. I sit back down and grab my tumbler.
Is this safe to drink? I ask, pointing to my glass.
Yes.
Oh, good.
I take a sip.
I release you from my glamour.
Janice staggers back a step.
Gods above.
Hastily, his wings disappear.
That was horribly invasive,
Dez says.
I know. Isn't my mate exquisite?
Janice takes a seat, waving his hand. His shattered glass stitches itself back together, the liquid reforming in the tumbler. It floats back into his hand, and he takes a long drink.
I could have you thrown in the gallows for what you just did,
he says contemplatively.
The room darkens just a touch.
Is that a threat?
Dez says, his voice calm.
It sounds awfully close to one.
How do you even live with such a creature?
Janice asks, his gaze sliding back to me. Despite how shaken he is, he looks halfway interested.
I smile, baring my teeth at him.
I try not to piss her off.
I guffaw at that, my skin dimming.
All right,
the bargainer concedes.
I do try to piss her off, but only because she has especially twisted ideas of revenge.
Janice shakes his head.
You two are a fucked up pair.
Chapter 16.
We spend a painful number of hours sitting in that room, going over the battles that occurred in each respective kingdom. And just when I think we're all about ready to wrap things up, we recap things all over again. And again. In the countless hours that have passed, there's no sense of time here, just endless midday sun bearing down on the palace. I've managed to throw back an alarming amount of that emerald alcohol.
Well, I think that's it for now,
Jenna says, rising to his feet.
He looks at me with laughing eyes. I give him a quizzical look, then turn to Dez, who's biting back a grin as he stands.
Why do I feel like I've totally missed the joke?
I push out of my chair, staggering, then nearly falling. Woo! Too much alky.
Act normal.
Cherub?
Dez asks, grasping my forearm. At least the godforsaken meeting is finally over.
It's God's forsaken here,
Janice says.
We have more than one god.
Whoops, I said that out loud?
You did,
Janice says. Damn it, shut up, mouth. Now the Day King's lips twitch.
I'm still thinking out loud, aren't I?
I say.
Come on, baby siren,
Dez says, escorting me out of the room.
You had fun with that liquor, didn't you?
Janice calls out from behind us.
Why don't we meet again first thing tomorrow?
Ew, no more God's forsaken meetings. Please and thank you.
Calypso Lilis, your attendance is optional,
he says. Fuck on a fairy, I'm still thinking out loud.
Desmond, Janice continues, you'll both be staying in your usual rooms. I trust you can find your way to them. We can,
Des says.
Good. Then you two have a pleasant evening, and please feel free to use any of the royal amenities while you're here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, I say over my shoulder, waving to Janice. Oh, and sorry for insulting you and glamoring you.
Even as I say it, my skin flickers, brightening and dimming at random. Uh-oh, just how drunk am I?
Very,
Des says, leading me out into the hallway.
I groan.
Why didn't you stop me from drinking?
He huffs out a laugh.
I did that once back in Malibu. Remind me again how well that went over.
I let out a giggle that ends in a hiccup.
I was so mad.
Mad enough to throw my entire liquor supply at him. I lean into Dez.
I smell like death. Why do I smell like death?
Janice's burning bodies, remember?
As the bargainer speaks, a small smile pulls at the corners of his lips.
Oh, yeah.
I subtly sniff myself again. Ew, I don't just smell like death. I smell like a corpse screwed a trash can and it didn't end well.
Dez's lips quirk.
Did I just say that out loud? He glances down at me, his expression mirthful.
You did.
Ugh, I whine. Why do I keep saying everything I think? I mean, my filter isn't the best on any given day, but this is just ridiculous.
Callie, that dark green alcohol was Illyrium liquor. It compels you to tell the truth. Or in your case, tell the world each and every little thought that crosses your mind.
Wait. What? Why didn't you say anything?
I'm sorry, when did I ever give you the impression I was forthcoming with information?
I lean my forehead against Des's arm and let out another groan.
How long have I been speaking my mind?
Just during the tail end of the meeting.
I don't know what constitutes the tail end of that long-ass discussion, but the longer it dragged on, the more inappropriate my thoughts became. So Janice knows I was sweating so much I was worried I'd leave a butt imprint on his chair?
Yep.
And that I needed to pee really, really badly?
Yep.
And that I wanted to bang you?
Now, Cherub, that one's just a given.
I howl. Why didn't you say anything? I whine as Dez leads me through the castle.
We went over this already.
You drank it too, I accuse him. Why aren't you spilling your guts?
Because I stopped at one drink.
Unlike me.
It's a sign of good faith to drink Illyrium liquor during times of trouble.
Dez continues. It's also a sign of good faith to let your soulmate know they're making an ass out of themselves. And also, I say, before Dez has a chance to address that thought of mine, unrelated but equally important, why the fuck is it so miserably hot here? I gather up my hair and use it to fan the back of my neck. Next body of water I see, I'm hopping in, dead serious. Dez points at a nearby archway.
That way leads to one of the royal bathhouses.
Oh my God, take me there. One perk of being inebriated, walking is no longer so hellacious. I mean, that might be because halfway to the pool, Dez gets tired of me tripping over my own feet and decides to carry me, but what are details? I lean back in Dez's arms and stare up at him. Hi. He glances down at me, his white hair framing his face.
Hi, Cherub.
You're kind of cute, I say. He raises an eyebrow. I reach up and trace his lips. I wouldn't mind having little mini Dezes running around. Someday, that is. Not today, but you know, in the future. Hey, if I'm a cherub, what would you call our kids? Is there a name for baby angels? He says, assessing me with his bedroom eyes.
I'm sure I'd call them something different, love. Now, eager as I am to have this conversation, I'm not going to make any plans with you until I know you'll be able to remember them.
My head lolls a little. You want to have babies with me? I sing. Lots and lots and lots of babies with me. I kick my legs a little as I say the words, my skin brightening and dimming. This alcohol is really laying into me now that I'm free of that boring meeting. I flash the bargainer a cheesy smile, reaching up to play with his hair. He gives the ceiling of the bathhouse a long-suffering look. You'd almost think time had rewound 8 years ago, back when I was striking deals. I sit up a little straighter in his arms. Hey! I hiccup. Let's make a di-
No.
But he quiets me with a kiss. A long, drawn-out kiss that causes my toes to curl and my skin to flare to life. My siren surges through me, and suddenly the kiss has 110% of my focus. I wrap a hand around the back of Dez's neck and fall into the taste of him. So damn hot. Him, this room, the kiss, this kingdom in general, all of it. Before I have a chance to turn the kiss into something deeper, it ends. I stare up at him. I still have to pee really, really badly. He huffs out a laugh.
Kelly, the killer of moments.
Hey, you're the moment killer.
Am I now?
He says. He sounds amused.
That's because I am amused.
He replies. Ugh, when will this alcohol wear off?
Probably not for a while. He drank a lot of it.
Awesome. Dez walks us to a door, pushing it open with his body, and then he muscles us into a fancy little bathroom. The bargainer sets me down.
I'll be right outside.
Wait! I catch his arm. Will you stay in here with me? Dez tilts his head.
There's no distance with you, is there?
He says. His eyes are totally laughing at me. That's a yes, isn't it? He sighs.
Can't deny you anything.
Yay! Okay, face the door, I say while I move to the toilet. I don't want you to see anything.